CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Cliff May, the founder and president of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, writing most recently at the Washington Times of the Geneva conversation between the two presidents, President Putin of the Russian Federation, President Biden of the United States of America, and allies. This conversation is a tradition between Russia and the United States, certainly dating back at least to the conversation about each other and then with each other at Yalta in the conference in the winter of 1945, Franklin Delano Roosevelt's last appearance on the world stage before his tragic death in April. However, the conversation between Mr. Stalin and Mr. Roosevelt was promising for a post-war world. Here we are decades later, and a very good evening to you, Cliff. The conversation between Mr. Biden and Mr. Putin disappointed you. How so, Cliff, given the tradition of these two countries talking at odds with each other? Good evening.
Good evening. Well, any number of ways, but most importantly, I suppose, if Biden is going to do Putin the favor of having a summit, a word that the coinage of Churchill's, by the way, and put Putin on the world stage as a major power, at the end of the day, it seems to me that he should be able to walk away and say, well, here's what I achieved. And he couldn't say I walk away. I don't think he walked away with so much as a good bottle of vodka. But he gave Putin a lot of things that Putin wants, both during the conference, because he made Putin into a major player, but also before the conference. Because if you recall, he, before the conference, without getting anything in return, he agreed that, okay, I'm going to end bipartisan, long-standing opposition to Nord Stream 2, the project, the pipeline that is being built to go from Russia to Germany, which will make Germany and Europe more dependent on Russia than ever. There are other things that he gave as well in advance. The extension of the New START agreement for 5 years, not a particularly good idea since Russia cheats on it and we don't, and it should have been renegotiated at the very least. It's not a successful arms control agreement, in my opinion. And he throws military aid package to Ukraine. That's another gift. By the way, the other gifts I understand he gave were a pair of aviator glasses to Putin, the kind that Biden likes to wear, and a crystal sculpture of an American bison. So for all that, what did he get in return? And the answer is absolutely nothing, it seems to me. And I think, look, I think Putin should have been asked to reciprocate in some way. And if Putin had said, well, no, I don't think I want to, then there was no need to have this meeting at this time. Just say, well, I'm going back after I meet with our allies. But if there were, and by the way, the least you could ask Putin to do is give up the two American hostages he's holding, both former Marines, U.S. Marines. There's no evidence been shown that they've done anything wrongdoing. We really, this is another subject that I'm concerned about, the extent to which authoritarian regimes are holding Americans and others hostage, and nothing is being done about it.
The incident in the Black Sea in these last days and hours is a puzzle, and let us apply ourselves to that incident because it turns on Ukraine. It's fog of diplomacy. I don't have a way to state facts as I understand them because both sides are telling different stories. But we do know there's a United Kingdom warship in the Black Sea. We do know that in some fashion, the Russians are extremely sensitive about Crimea because they annexed it and it's their naval base. We also know that the Russians are claiming they fired shots and dropped bombs. The UK is saying none of this happened. However, it does underline the conflict zone, which is Crimea. Was there anything that Mr. Biden could have said or done to move the story of Ukraine and Crimea with Mr. Putin?
President Biden certainly wasn't showing his support for Ukraine, having gotten rid of this package of aid. The Trump administration was supportive of Ukraine in real ways, such as giving them lethal weapons, as opposed to the Obama administration, which gave them meals ready to eat. In addition to the annexation of Crimea, as you know, there's a whole Donbass region in the east of Ukraine, which is Soviet Russian occupied as well, and which is really a war zone, essentially. Biden has difficulty on this particular portfolio, of course. The media don't talk about this too much because his son went to Ukraine on an official flight with the vice president at that time. and walked away with a very lucrative arrangement with an energy company, although he knows nothing particularly about energy or the Ukraine or anything like that. This has not been a subject that the media have been eager to explore.
The Kremlin, let's look at their point of view. Did the Kremlin find this meeting in Geneva a success? Is it useful to them going forward?
Oh, I think very much so. I think it was. He was able. What was he able to do? He was able to say, "I see why I'm an important player on the world stage. The American president has to meet with me, just as in the days of the Soviet Empire." He was able to deny everything else. He said, "Look, you're telling me about cyber attacks. I don't know anything about cyber attacks. As far as I'm concerned, most of the cyber attacks in the world are coming out of the U.S. That's my information. That's what I know. That's a lie." But why, you know, why, but telling lies like that can be very useful nowadays. Millions of Americans are perfectly willing to believe that, China's rulers are telling the truth when they say that COVID-19 originated in the U.S. And Iran's rulers say that, oh, we only have a nuclear program for peaceful purposes. Plenty of people believe that as well. So if he says cyber crimes aren't coming from us, they're coming from you, people believe it. And he left that way. And on human rights grounds, by the way, I'm glad that Biden brought up human rights considerations, especially with Alexei Navalny, who was one of the many dissidents who has been poisoned. He survived almost miraculously, came back to Russia, was put in jail as in a penal colony at this point, on not very good health. So what did Biden have to say about that? He said, well, if Navalny dies, the consequences will be devastating for Russia. I'm not sure if that was a threat or just a prediction. And if it's a prediction, I'm not sure it's right. Think how many other dissidents have been murdered in Russia and abroad without any severe consequences for Vladimir Putin. Putin also claimed moral equivalence between the U.S. and Russia, saying, well, it's a ridiculous comparison when he says that America has the same kinds of human rights problems that Russia has. But he didn't explain why that was the case. And I think he's undercut his rebuttal, because what has Biden been saying in recent months and recent weeks? He says America suffers from systemic racism. This guy's been a politician and an elected official for more than 40 years, and he's been part of that systemic racism, if that's what he believes. I don't. And he also said that Biden has also said terrorism from white supremacy is the most lethal threat to the homeland today. Well, sounds like we got a pretty bad human rights problem then, don't we?
Cliff, our allies were watching this conversation in Geneva, though they were not at the table. You've mentioned Germany. What about France? What about London? What did Paris and London take from this conversation at distance?
But from certainly in terms of the Germany and the European Union, there isn't the will, it seems to me, to stand up to Russia in any way. They're willing to be more dependent on Russia. And the Germans have helped. Too many of our NATO allies are not contributing to the collective security in a serious way. That remains a problem. You can disagree with how Trump dealt with that problem, but I still think it is a problem. With Boris Johnson, I'm a little more puzzled by his attitude towards Russia. But generally speaking, the Europeans have taken the view, okay, China may be committing genocide with their Uyghurs. We don't like that. But what are you going to do? They may be crushing Hong Kong in clear violation of their treaty obligations. That's sort of unfortunate. As long as we can, the Iranian regime may be building nuclear weapons, threatening genocide and taking over Arab capitals in the Middle East. Tut, tut, tut. But meanwhile, we got Mercedes to sell in Iran, China, and Russia, so let's get on with it.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.